Our gospel lesson this morning is taken from Matthew 9, 35, verse 35 through chapter 10, verse 8. And this is the good news about Jesus. Listen. Then Jesus made a circuit of all the towns and villages, and he taught in their meeting places, reported kingdom news, and healed their diseased bodies, healed their bruised and hurt lives. And when he looked out over the crowds, his heart broke. So confused and aimless so many were, like sheep, no shepherd. What a huge harvest, he said to his disciples. How few workers! On your knees and pray for harvest hands. The prayer was no sooner prayed than it was answered. Jesus called 12 of his followers and sent them into the ripe fields. He gave them power to kick out evil spirits and tenderly care for bruised and hurt lives. This is the list of the 12 he sent. Simon, they called him Peter, or Rock. Andrew, his brother, James, Zebedee's son. Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas. Matthew, the tax man. James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who later turned on him. Jesus sent his 12 harvest hands out with this charge. Don't begin by traveling to some far-off place to convert unbelievers, and don't try to be dramatic by tackling some public enemy. No, go to any lost, confused people right here in the neighborhood. Tell them that the kingdom is here. Bring health to the sick. Raise the dead. Touch the untouchables. Kick out the demons. You have been treated generously. So live generously. Let us pray. Thank you for your word today. May we hear the things that we need to hear so that we can do the things that you've invited us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So imagine the surprise guy who just finished his lemonade having to return the cup, but that's the only cup we have. Have you ever felt like you've run out of resources? Ever just felt like there's just not one more drop to give? The cupboard's empty. No more extra things to bring. We all felt that way from time to time. And I think churches feel that way from time to time. I don't think now is that time for Cold Spring Church. But I think if you look back over 300 years, none of you were here back then. But you all know some stories, some history. And you must know that some cycles, you know, occur not only in people's lives or even in your day, even in your week. God set up cycles, right? Now, on one of those days, you're supposed to rest and make sure you spend a time to worship on another day. And this rhythm to life, we all know that there's a pattern to life as well. There's a pattern in our regular life of worship, of prayer, of reading from the scriptures, of confessing our sin, of accepting God's forgiveness and forgiving the harm others have caused to us. And this rhythm of spiritual life, this rhythm of weekly life, also happens to organizations as well. And so imagine back years ago that there are periods in Cold Spring Presbyterian Church's life where there was high vitality, high engagement. People were feeling they've been given so much, and so they wanted to return and give back. But there were other times, sometimes restorative times, sometimes repair times. You know, even those cars in the Indianapolis 500 weren't going 200 miles an hour every moment, were they? Every single one of those cars that finished that race had to pull over for a what? A pit stop. And during that pit stop, that would be pretty fair to say, ha ha, you're only going zero, I'm going 200 miles an hour, see, I'm faster than you. No, you wouldn't do that because everybody needs a pit stop. And so even churches can go through periods of time when there's a pit stop. You know, I appreciated this book. Don, where's Don? There you are, Don. Don shared this book with me, and I will return it, don't worry. Because you were going to charge me double, weren't you? Just kidding. This is a great book. Don has this Cape May Vintage Postcards. You must have seen it. It's been around, what, 98, 99 that this was published. So it's been around. I see it in all the stores. Larry, I think you sell this book. Thank you for that. But in this book, it was curious as I read through here that there's one mention of Cold Spring Church in it. Is that right? And I did not mark the page, but I'm pretty sure I remember the reference. It was about the Presbyterian church, I think, down in Lafayette, that's now an Episcopal church. But the mention of Cold Spring is this. It says that this church was finally bought when the congregation was able to break away from the mother church in Cold Spring. That's how it's put. Isn't that funny? Now, I don't want to read anything like negative about that. But imagine that that church was started down there, you know, wherever, this particular one on Lafayette. There's a cool picture of it in this on a postcard. That it says that this church was started when they were able to break away from the mother church. Now, as ominous as that might sound, and I don't know the backstory, I bet Don maybe has some stories for you about that. Here's what I see. I see a church that was so vital, was so connected to the community, that so many people who came way up here, remember we have a mile marker out front, it's the 3 mile marker. 3 miles down to the point, right? Isn't that what that means? The 3 mile marker. I took a part of the tour, I think that's what I remember. So many people came up from Cape May, the island, that it was such a long journey that people who were members of this church, who happened to live down in Cape May, decided, I am so tired driving 3 miles on a horse, right? I'm so tired on a horse going up there for 3 miles every week on worship. I always get back late. The chicken always burns in the oven. And so I think we should start a church right here. What do you think? Okay, let's do that. So there was a period, a cycle of engagement when this church started other churches. That's one. Maybe there's others still. Marge is shaking her head. That's really awesome. So thanks again, Don, for this book. This is so cool. And if you don't have this book, you should really buy it. And Don will sign it for you for a donation to the church, which I think is only reasonable because we're in there. So Jesus has been going around doing all sorts of amazing things. I don't think any day went by when someone said, oh yeah, there's Jesus. Boy, is he boring. Now, I just don't think it happened. Now, I wasn't there. We don't have everything. But of the gospel story that we have by the Holy Spirit, you can read it for yourself. I can tell you for a fact, it never says, and so Jesus bored the people to tears. And people that he tried to fix remained ill. And people that were discouraged remained discouraged. And the people that Jesus invited to follow him said, are you nuts? I'm not following you. And this is the story of Jesus. It was not like that. Instead, Jesus was so authentic and real. You know, we struggle with that. I struggle with that. How to do that? And to do it consistently, or maybe more importantly, to do it sustainably. That's a hard thing to do, for any of us to do. But Jesus, being God and man, merged together. He moved into our neighborhood and he showed us a better way. So that wherever Jesus went, things happened. And it says that Jesus made a circuit of all the towns and villages. He didn't leave your street out. He didn't make you travel 3 miles to see him. Jesus made the rounds. And so Jesus, as he visited around, he didn't just go, oh, wow, what a great town. I think I'll take my camera out and take a picture. Maybe I'll make a postcard and send it to my aunt back home. You know, maybe I'll do that. No, Jesus was actually right there not to capture the moment and save, like he had a time capsule in the corner and save this for posterity. No, Jesus was doing real-time ministry in a real-time way that transformed lives in real time. And then the people whose lives were touched, they were the ones that wrote the postcards. They were the ones that told the story. They were the ones that picked up the phone and called a neighbor and said, hey, I heard Jesus speak today. Totally changed my life. I still don't get it, but I'm going to go back and listen to him again. So Jesus was doing all of this on his own. People that were sick were healed. People that were blind had their sight restored. People that nobody paid attention to. And remember all those bullies when the kids tried to swarm Jesus. Remember, they tried to keep the kids away. And Jesus says, don't you get in the way of me and children. You'll be in big trouble. And so Jesus welcomed children. He welcomed women. He welcomed those who were not at the top of the list, the ones you picked first in the softball team. No, not taking Kevin right now. No, we'll go for John. Kevin, no, not going for Kevin yet. No, we'll let him stay. So you know what it's like sometimes maybe to be chosen last, to be picked last because your skills don't measure up to the person next to you. We know what it's like to run out of lemonade. But Jesus went around and he said, he looked out over the crowds and it says his heart broke. His heart didn't break because he was tired. His heart didn't break because he was having a bad day. He was feeling a little depressed. No, Jesus' heart broke because when he looked at the people, it was as if they were just wandering around with a whole bunch of fake news. They were just wandering around, just wondering where they should turn next. You know, our country's in disheaval, the Romans here taking charge of everything, and all these religious leaders are just buckling down, just double hard, and they're just making life miserable every turn we take. I don't know what to do anymore. I got to take care of my family. I'm at a loss. And so Jesus looked out over that and said, oh my gosh, look at there. They're just like sheep without a shepherd. And you know what? There's one thing that we know from reading the scriptures, and back here, if you were back here 80 years ago or longer, you knew that you would never see a sheep without a shepherd. You would never see a sheep out of a pen. You don't see a sheep wandering down the seashore road, you know, bah, bah, for very long, because sheep need a shepherd. Sheep need a constraint. Sheep need a boundary. Sheep need a place to call home, just like we do. And so Jesus said, I can't do all this alone. He says that you need to pray for this harvest. There are so few workers, but we need people to go out there and do the work. And as it says here in the Message translated, and this prayer was no sooner prayed than it was answered. And Jesus called 12 of his followers and sent them out to do the work. See, this is what happens. God didn't send Jesus here just to impress us, to allow us to tell a couple buddies, oh yeah, I go to a really cool church, had a really cool time, awesome music. Oh, the refreshments are totally awesome. And that's like it. That would be fine. Also, please do that, by the way. That's all good, what I just said. But it's not the whole story. The real story is how your connection with Jesus Christ can help you become the person that God created you to be, to get in touch with the person that God wanted you to become all along, to minimize your regret as you grow older, and to encourage your opportunity to do things that God is inviting you yet to do. And so Jesus knows he needs people to help him do that. He's not out there on his own doing all of this. And Cold Spring Church is an awesome place that has already discovered what that means. We've at least started one other community of faith. You know, where are we in that cycle? And again, all the cycles are fine. Everybody goes through, every car needs a pit stop. But now I think we're coming to a place where we're building our energy, trying to clarify our focus, not entirely sure what the direction is, and that's fine. But we're trying to collect resources, trying to measure our assets, our gifts, our spiritual gifts, our emotional gifts, our experiential gifts, our gifts of age, and our gifts, not just older age, but younger age, that together we can figure out how we are being sent out. Because God did not just invite the 12 disciples to play a couple rounds of bridge. God invited the disciples together to go out and do what God was doing, because when grace is at work, we pass it on. When God's grace is at work, we pass it on. Can you say that with me? When grace is at work, we pass it on. Try that again. When grace is at work, we pass it on. You know, if you don't mind, you have somebody sitting next to you, go ahead, they'll laugh at you too perhaps the first time. But just turn to them where you are, pick somebody, and say, when grace works, the other person says, pass it on. Let's do that. When grace works, do it again. When grace works, pass it on. And so this is why we are here today. If Jesus' grace was put to work, and those 12 disciples just decided to sit it out, do you think you would be here today? All right, I know we totally don't know. You're going to fact check me, right? Where's Dave today? We need the statistician here today. But I think that might be true. If God's grace through Christ had an influence on that period of time, remember he died probably around AD 33, 34, somewhere around in there, the first third of the first century. If the disciples did not respond to Jesus' invitation to go out into the harvest and participate and do what Jesus was doing, do you think you would be here today? Do you think Cold Spring Church 303 years ago would have been started here then? Do you think anybody would want to bury somebody outside if they thought this church didn't stand for something? You know, there are people that want to be buried at Cold Spring Church, and they're not sure why exactly, but they know that five generations of their family know. And they're showing up here because they know this church can be trusted. They know this is a place that matters. They know that this is a place, and not just the place. I'm talking about you. You're the place. You're the place. You're the place where God's grace is at work. And so what are we supposed to do? We pass it on. When God's grace is at work, we pass it on. And so Jesus had these 12 folk that he invited, and there were countless others. There were 70 around the 12. There were another 500 around the 70. There were thousands around the 500. And all of these people heard it, Jesus' message, in their own way, their own unique way. You can't say to somebody, oh, did you hear that? This is what I'm going to do. You better do it too. Oh, no, no. I heard what Jesus said about that, but here's what I'm going to do. And happily, people decided to get together. And when they see things similarly, everybody's unique, but when they got together in community and began to practice their faith, not act their faith, when they got together to practice their faith, all of that energy in the room just, it didn't just multiply. So if you have two people, that's twice as many as one, you know, 10 or 10 times as many as one. No, it's a logarithmic scale that for every person who joins the community of faith, it goes up just in exponentially. Because each time we connect with somebody else, it doesn't just add one other person. You're adding another person who has other people around them, who has other people around them, who have other people around them. And then when they come a little closer, from the 1,000 to the 500 to the group of 70 to the group of 12, you all are kind of like the 12 in this story, that then you connect to others and they have another 12. And so you may not know it, but inviting somebody out of kindness to, or even pay their way to our next dinner could be the act of kindness that brings them to say, boy, I tell you, nobody ever did that for me before. And I hear those dinners are good. Is there an amen for that? Yeah, at least for that. Then they may come and say, oh my gosh, that is so cool. You're right. Boy, if a church can have a dinner like that, I'm going to check it out. What else do you all do? What time is worship? Well, it beats the Baptist one I'm going to. Nah, just kidding. It beats the Methodist one, totally. No, just kidding again. Sorry, I can't help myself. But here, this is something unique. You all have been doing something very unique for a very long time. You must be doing something right. And so as we look at this message today, he says, don't begin traveling to some far-off place. Not that traveling to a far-off place is a bad thing. That's a good thing. But he says, don't make that the excuse, because so many of us aren't willing to be courageous enough to do that. So it isn't that or nothing. He says, go off to a far off place. If you're not doing that, you're not worthy. No. He says, don't focus on the tough thing yet. Why don't you do the thing that's a little closer at home? Why don't you start right here? Go to any that seem lost, confused, right here in the neighborhood, it says. Tell them that the kingdom is here. The kingdom is now. And you have been treated generously. Or this word generous is the Greek extravagant. You know, it's over and above. You've received over and above what you could possibly imagine. So live over and above generously. Because when grace is at work, what do we do? What do? When grace is at work, we what? When grace is at work, we pass it on. Thank you for doing it your own way. Thank you for passing it on in the ways that you do. Thank you for bringing food in for our deacons' collection. Thank you for volunteering for our events. Thank you for suggesting hymns to sing. Thank you for helping being a liturgist. Thank you for volunteering to be in our busy bees or to help out with Presbyterian women. Thank you for participating in a million ways we haven't even come up with yet. We have an open-air market coming. We get three times to do awesome this summer with these events. Because when grace is at work, what do? And that's what Cold Spring Church has been doing for 303 years. Let us pray. Just in silence, just pause for a moment just to reflect on what God might have been saying to you in the scripture readings, in the music, in the message. Dear God, as we have received your grace, may we not run out of cups so that we might pass it on. Amen.